A Republic production. Herbert J. Yates presents
was 6'6" Jim Bowie. Not a man would face the Bowie knife. As a man, he never wanted praise nor glory, but to stand and take the last command. He gave his love and he fought for his land. Wouldn't you wanna do like Jim Bowie? As a friend, they liked him straight from Rio, all the way down to the Alamo. But the end, my friend, you know the real true story, all about Jim Bowie's last command.
In the 1830s, that part of the young Mexican Republic north of the Rio Grande, an area of more than 300,000 square miles, was a province known as Texas, an almost limitless land, populated by tribes of native Indians and a scattering of Mexican citizens. From the north and east had come others, settlers who took up lands granted them by the Mexican government in an effort to speed the development of the new territory. But, like to all new people in a new raw land, problems arose.
His way past groups of tech.
Suéltalo bien. Está agotado.
Sí, señor.
Feet on the brickwork surrounding a large fireplace and begins to remove his boots, listening in on a nearby conversation as he does so.
It can't be done in any such fashion. It's foolishness, I tell you. And you're fools if you think you can take the law into your own hands.
If you're scared, say so. But don't call us fools.
Listen, let's wait till we know what we're doing. Let's have reason. We've got our rights guaranteed to us.
By who? By that double-crossing Mexican president, Santa Anna? I'm getting mighty sick of losing neighbors in the dead of night, and the next thing you know, they're stuck in some stinking Mexican jail.
Better lower our voices. Mexicans got listeners all around us.
Bowie notices a mustachioed man standing at the bar.
They've arrested Mr. Travis. Take him over to the military commander's place. 7 cavalrymen.
You see? I've been telling you. You're fools.
I told you not to call us fools anymore.
Yes. Let's show them.
Lucky to let him be for a moment. Seems to me a man has a right to say what he thinks. Like to hear more.
Who are you?
I'm Jim Bowie.
Bowie helps the man who was struck back to his feet.
Thank you, sir. If a man makes a living selling perfectly legitimate merchandise, they think he's a traitor. They won't listen to sense. I'm a businessman, therefore suspect.
Of what?
I'll say good day. Thank you again.
The man goes, and Boo is approached by a younger man.
Mr. Bowie, I'm Jeb Lacey.
How are you?
I'd like to say it's a pleasure to meet you, sir.
It is, huh?
Perhaps I could tell you anything you'd like to know.
All right, tell me.
What, sir?
Well, what's going on? Why there's nobody on the street? The place is locked up tight. Everybody in here are one mind.
Well, I don't understand everything it's about, sir, but our people need a better deal from the Mexicans. They've been treating us like we had no rights at all. Mr. William Travis, he's a lawyer from South Carolina. Real bright, knows the law good. Well, Mr. Travis has been kind of our spokesman. I guess he talked too loud because the military commander arrested him.
Juan Bradburn, that'd be.
You know him?
Sort of. Without knowing much more about it, I'm inclined to be on lawyer Travis' side.
Bowie notices the mustachioed man is leaving.
Watch that.
He follows him outside and catches up with him.
Just keep walking.
But, senor...
I know exactly where you're going. You'll be pleased to know I'm going right along with you.
¿Qué pasa?
Señor Bowie.
Jim Bowie. What are you doing?
Came to do you a favor, Colonel. Brought you a little present, too. He's not very pretty and he doesn't smell too good, but he's yours, all yours.
What would I want with him, a man I never saw in my life before?
Juan, I've known you for a long time. Long before you were a big, important military governor. And I know how you operate.
I do not operate with stupid idiots. We're so obvious they get themselves in trouble.
Seems to me you're in a little trouble yourself.
Me?
How would you like it if Santa Ana heard that you couldn't manage your own province? If the Texans were getting hot under the collar because you'd been playing too rough with them? That you planted spies all around them? That you made a mistake that a child wouldn't make? Arresting that lawyer Travis? Sending him to Mexico City tomorrow?
He's a revolutionary, a traitor. A big talker who stirred up the people. President Santa Ana would be pleased.
Nah, not when he hears it the way I'll tell him.
What is it you can suggest I do?
I'll give you back your agent.
I do not want that bumbling jackass.
I'll give you back your agent. If you don't take him, I'll turn him over to the Texans. And that wouldn't be good for you, Colonel.
In return, what must I give to you?
Travis.
It's nighttime as Bowie and Travis arrive at a house where about a dozen Texian colonists are having a meeting.
And that is why I thank you for coming. Whatever else we determine here tonight, the first order for decision is how we shall inhibit Juan Bradburn from sending William Travis to the dungeons.
That won't be necessary. I've brought my rescuer with me.
Senor Travis, what a pleasure to see you free again. Senor Bowie, I did not know you were in Anahuac.
Glad to see you, Senora Quesada.
What is this Senor Travis says about his rescue?
I still don't know what happened. Bradburn came to me with Jim Bowie and said a mistake had been made.
Oh, Juan Bradburn. He's a very impetuous man.
I kind of told him that myself.
Hello, Jim.
Hello. Gentlemen, an old friend, James Bowie. One of our biggest landowners and a friend of all Texians. Senor Redden.
Senor? I know most of these men. I don't want to interfere. I'll just take a seat, if I may.
Gentlemen, please. To those of you who do not know me well, and who may wonder why I have thrown in my lot with you colonists, I would like to say that I have received reports, deeply troubling reports from my people, my relatives in Mexico, that the Presidente General Santana is moving quickly towards despotic powers. And we, my people, do not wish to return to any form of despotism, either here in Texas or in any other part of Mexico. And now, Senor Travis.
Gentlemen, 4 months ago, this group sent to Mexico City our good friend, Mr. Stephen Austin, with a petition stating our requests for certain governmental reforms. Mr. Austin was shortly thrown into a military prison For, they say, writing a letter advising us that only the strongest measures could secure justice under Santa Anna. I, for one, agree wholeheartedly with the sentiments of Mr. Austin, who is still rotting in a dungeon in Mexico City. I say to you now that the only course left open to us is to show the military authorities that we will not passively submit to injustice. I say to you, it's time for us to stand on our feet, to demand what is our right, to take whatever steps are necessary to make those demands felt, to create a militia if need be, to fight if we must. Gentlemen. Senor. I have the feeling you don't agree with me.
Senor Travis, we have identical interests. But I am Mexicano of pure Spanish heritage. And I know the temper of my people. Their pride. Their very deep pride. And though I am fearful of Santa Ana's motives, I could never counsel the people of Texas to take any action which could cause a break in the friendship of the Mexican people themselves. There are thousands of miles that separate us, and we have not yet certain proof that the President Santa Ana has become everything his political opponents say he has. If you ask my opinion, I would say, let us proceed, but with care, with caution.
I quite agree with you, Senor.
I'd like to hear from Mr. Bowie.
I don't think I have anything to say. I just came to listen.
It appears I don't have your confidence either.
Isn't Mr. Bowie a Mexican citizen?
That's right. I'm married to a lovely Spanish lady. As the senor has told you, I've acquired a few acres of land. I've even fought alongside the Mexicans. My wife and I have a lovely home in Mexico. I'm on my way there now.
I'm sorry. Am I interrupting?
I think, my dear, you are just in time. Gentlemen, I have the honor, my niece, Señorita de Casada.
Señorita.
Thank you.
My pleasure, Señorita.
The young woman turned shyly away.
Bill, as for me, I'm inclined to agree with you.
I think it's necessary for every man here to say where he stands. Forgive me, Mr. Bowie, if I insist.
I don't have any exact stand yet, Mr. Travis. Don't know enough about it. I'm just on my way home to Monclova, Coahuila, Mexico, to see my wife and children. Figure I'll learn a little more about it as time goes on.
From your father-in-law, the Lieutenant Governor of Coahuila, Mexico?
That's right.
It seems strange to me that the two men with the most to lose in the event of trouble, with the most to gain from Santa Ana's friendship, the two men with the largest land holdings in Texas and Mexico, these are the two men that urge caution. Why?
Bowie steps towards Travis.
My apologies to you, Senor de Casada. Myself, I excuse the young lawyer. From what I've seen, most lawyers have the notion they can say anything they like. Get used to it in the courtroom, I expect. The trouble with you, Travis, is that you haven't lived long enough or had enough experience to know what you're talking about. Had I known this before, I'm not so sure you'd be here now. Senor, gentlemen, in the interest of what you're trying to accomplish, I'll remove some of the young lawyer's difficulty. Buenas noches.
He strides to the door. Bowie's adjusting his horse's saddle.
Señor Bowie.
He joins Señorita de Casada by the stable doors.
Please, señor, I must speak with you.
You shouldn't be out here alone.
I'm not, señor. Maria is here.
Well, don't be frightened.
No, but I had to tell you. Many of the men stayed late. I went to my room, but I couldn't sleep. The entrance to the house is next to my room. Two men stopped to speak. They are your enemies, senor. They were talking that it would be well if you didn't go to Monclova. I don't know who they were, senor Bowie, But they said they were coming to the inn to stop you.
But not Travis.
No. I would have known his voice.
Did you hear anything else?
No, I couldn't hear all the words. Just enough to understand what I've told you.
Well, thank you, Senorita. It's time for you to go.
You don't remember me?
No.
San Antonio.
Oh, I haven't been in San Antonio for almost a year.
I've seen you many times there. Once I met your wife. She's very beautiful.
Thank you. She is.
May I ask?
Yeah?
Why did you allow my uncle and yourself to be insulted? I thought no one talked so to Senor Bui.
I should have killed him?
Yes.
How old are you?
18. Almost.
17. When I was 17, I thought I knew everything. It's not so simple now.
Please don't laugh at me.
No man is ever going to laugh at you. They'll smile a little, perhaps, with wonder. They won't laugh. What is your name?
Consuelo.
Consuelo. Consuelo, remember this. An insult is something that happens when men become aroused. And one of them can't stop. He boils over and the words come spilling out. So you kill him. And you walk outside. For a few minutes, maybe you feel good. And then you look up at the stars. Out across at the horizon with the dawn coming up. And suddenly you realize that it's a big world. And that nothing has changed. Somewhere there's a woman without a man and maybe children without a father, all because of a few hot words. Does that make sense to you, Consuelo?
I don't know. I never thought you would say this.
I didn't think I would either. Now it's almost dawn. Time for you to go back.
Consuelo hurries off with her chaperone, Maria. Bui holds a gun as he steps towards Radin and two other men who've appeared in the courtyard.
Looking for me?
Our friend Bui. And in a hurry to be off.
That's right.
You know, some of the men were talking about it. Didn't seem to like the idea. They were kind of in a mix about your politics. They felt you shouldn't be allowed to leave.
Those men include you, Mike? Mike Radin. Well-known name.
Is it now? I've heard about you too, Bui. What a great fighter you are.
I've been lucky.
Nah, that's not what they say. They say you're a real terror. You know, I've heard so many stories about you lately. They've begun to annoy me considerable. You understand?
Go on.
I've been thinking all evening, sitting there at the meeting. I best get it out of my system. Swallow it or throw it up, you understand?
I'm beginning to.
So now on this happy occasion we meet, I'd greatly appreciate seeing who's best.
You're a legend, Mike. Known all over the Bayou country. Mike the Bull.
Mike the Bull. And Jim Bui. Would it be a fight to remember? You'll oblige me.
Why?
I can kill you, Bui.
Wouldn't want you to.
Oh, you're a weasel. They say you're good with a knife. Well, so am I. Just you and me, huh?
Put your guns down one at a time.
Remember, it's him and me. Come along, lads.
Radin's men put down their guns and step aside as Bui and Radin each draw a knife and begin to circle each other. Consuelo and Maria are watching from behind a bush as the fight begins. Radin lunges at Bui, who sidesteps him, sending his opponent to the ground. Keeping his knife leveled, Radin gets back to his feet. He thrusts his blade at Bui, who manages to grab him by the wrist. Radin gets a hold of Bowie's knife hand, and the two men struggle. Radin pulls Bowie towards him, then rolls on top of him, but Bowie kicks him away. They face off once more, knives at the ready. Bowie slashes Radin's arm.
All right, get him to a doctor. He's hurt bad. Come back and get your guns later.
Ah, you're a good man, Bowie.
Radin's men help him away. Bowie watches them go, then returns his knife to its sheath. He's heading back to the stables when Consuelo rushes to embrace him.
Gracias a Dios. I'm sorry, señor.
It's all right. You run along.
She nods tearfully, and he steps off into the night. It's daylight as Bowie rides along a bustling street in a Mexican township. He stops at a stone water trough to let his horse drink. He's just dismounted when he's approached by a Mexican local who hands him a metal drinking ladle.
Buenos días, señor.
Ah, gracias. ¿Qué pasa?
¿Qué, señor?
¿Por qué se persigna?
Solo por el amor de Dios, señor.
A troop of mounted cavalry.
¡Alto! Señor Bowie, welcome home.
That's very kind of you, Lieutenant.
I have the honor of bringing you the compliments of His Excellency the President, General Antonio López de Santana. His Excellency is in summer residence in the town and desires Señor Bowie to wait on him immediately upon his arrival.
Highly flattered.
A distinct honor, Señor.
Just as soon as I've returned to my estate and greeted my wife.
But you are to come now, Señor.
Sorry, I'm going home. Adios.
Dispare el caballo.
Bowie's horse is shot from under him.
Arrestalo!
He's arrested as he gets to his feet.
Presenten armas!
The Mexican president, General Antonio López de Santa Anna, strides along the colonnade of a large, well-appointed residential building. He waits for one of his officers to open a door for him. Wearing a full ceremonial uniform complete with fringed epaulets, he enters a large room and removes his hat, regarding the several men present who've clearly been waiting for him.
Your answer?
Your Excellency.
As much as we regret the necessity, we find it is not possible for us to disregard the constitutional law. This state of Coahuila, must retain its legislature.
Very well. And you will be prepared to assume the consequences? I will be alone with General Cos.
The four representatives leave the room.
What will you do? Take great pleasure in personally padlocking the legislative doors at the right time. Meanwhile, let them stew. Well, let us get up.
Your Excellency!
Bowie's man handled into the room.
Your Excellency!
Go away, all of you. Well, Jimmy, what is... Oh, you know my brother-in-law, General Cos?
Some other time.
If you will, your room. Jimmy, can't you think of my dignity?
I thought about it, with my nose in the dust of the road. Was it your order to shoot my horse and bring me here by force?
Who did this to you?
That idiot officer of yours.
It is true I am served by fools. My apologies. You will forgive me? No?
I'll think about it.
Good. And while you think, we will drink. Come, sit down.
Bowie grudgingly joins Santa Anna at a dining table.
Only the very best for my friend Bowie. Vintage of 1817. You have served with me in how many campaigns? How is it now you question me?
A man takes a drink, you can usually smell it on his breath.
And I have been taking a drink of what?
Power, maybe.
Power?
Smells that way.
You are the only man in the world I would allow to talk to me like this.
That's what I mean.
Who are these Texians? These colonists who think they can dictate to the government of Mexico? And who is this lawyer, this Travis, who sets himself above the military governor? I think Travis and his friends are all traitors. They should be stood against the barracks wall and shot.
Your governor is making a lot of mistakes.
Bradburn, he is a fool.
Well, they can't all be fools. Who's the fool responsible for throwing Stephen Austin in jail in Mexico City and keeping him there?
Austin is a conspirator.
He came to you with a petition. Seems sensible. People nowadays just don't take to one-man rule. At least there are a lot of people back in Texas who don't. Now, I'm not in the habit of offering advice.
You have my permission.
Thank you. Because I have a good deal of respect for you. Liking, too.
Thank you.
I just want to say one thing to you. Most people are a good deal like I am. And you could never make me follow you by force.
Don't talk to me like a frontiersman. You are an educated man. Say what you mean.
Constitutional government. Return to the Constitution of 1824. A complete renunciation of any despotic appetites you might have acquired, and release Stephen Austin. The Texians will never have any faith in you as long as you hold him.
The president paces to a window.
I have only love for my country. I think I have demonstrated that many times. Possibly I have been misunderstood. But I thank you, Jimmy, for being frank. I have great admiration for you. I have loved you as a brother. I must be sure you are not against me, that I have not turned you. I say, in all honesty, that you would be a great rallying point for any faction that gained your support. And I do not wish to see civil war come again. We have had too many wars. We need peace and prosperity. That is my aim, my ultimate aim.
Sounds good.
You have revealed much to me. I do not wish to be a dictator, a tyrant. I want to be a gracious page in history. I must consider what you have said. I must reevaluate. I thank you again. Let us drink to it. We have no quarrel, my friend. To our country and to us.
In that order.
They both drink. Bowie pats Santa Anna on his arm, then goes to leave.
Don't go yet, Jimmy. Now I must hurt you. The officer who brought you was obeying my orders to bring you here under armed guard if necessary, but not for the talk we have just had. I thought it would be less painful if you heard from your friend the worst news one man can bring to another.
What are you talking about?
The irony, my friend, is that you sent your family here to avoid the plague in Texas. Unfortunately, the plague sometimes travels faster. When I arrived here, I thought to visit your wife, Donna Ursula. Before I started out, word was brought me that your wife and beautiful children, they are no more. I have made the arrangements you would have wished, Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy, I cannot tell you how deeply sorry I feel.
Clearly devastated, Bowie walks slowly from the room. Once he's gone, Santa Anna strides to the other side of the room and opens a door there.
General. I am sorry for him.
Natural.
Truly, he has been my friend, but he's a very sentimental man.
Perhaps he's going to be more...
That man, Austin. Have him released. Perhaps by now he is a wiser man.
Surely.
And Texas. When I've closed the legislatures, I want it well garrisoned. And all Texians who have arms will surrender them on the penalty of death.
Wise, Your Excellency. They are becoming too
troublesome. In particular, San Antonio, this is the key to the whole central region.
Yes, Your
Excellency. And you will personally garrison it.
Yes, Your
Excellency. My hat.
A horse-drawn covered wagon, escorted by several armed riders, pulls up not far from a river. The wagon driver helps his passenger, an elderly Texian, down off the wagon.
Why are we stopping here?
We will camp here, senor, and wait for your friends from Anahuac.
Oh, si, si.
Fording the river on his new horse, Bowie reaches the bank and dismounts when he sees the old man.
Jim Boy!
Welcome home, Mr. Austin. It's good to see you, sir.
Well, it's good to see you, Jim. Well, come on, sit down.
Tell me, what are you doing around these parts?
Oh, I've been wandering around, playing a quiet lone game, trying to get a few things straight in my head.
Find out what you really want to do. You ought to try a dungeon.
I don't know how you stood it.
Jim, you remember how adamant I used to be about living up to the Mexican law?
Yes, you always said the Texians made a bargain and they should stick to it.
Yeah, I was always against all that move for independence. I thought all the leaders were a bunch of hotheads and troublemakers.
And now?
My eyes have been open. Completely. I thought Santa Anna would listen to reason. What kind of a president does he expect to be, throwing me in prison just because I argued for our cause?
Well, perhaps he's a frightened man. Perhaps he felt if he kept you quiet and let you rot into dust, why, all of Texas would be quiet, too.
He misjudged my character. He doesn't know the passion of a man who wants to be free. Look, Jim, should a man live under a tyrant who makes laws filled with inequities, inhumanities, and injustices? Shouldn't a man resist a hand that's choking him to death?
What are you going to advise the Texans to do?
Well, there are only three courses open to us, Jim. One is to give up, leave the country, everything we own, and have done there.
The Texans would never do that.
And then there's the passive attitude. Take whatever Santa Anna sees fit to give us.
They wouldn't do that either.
Very well. The last course, you know.
Yeah. I guess I found what I was looking for. I'll say goodbye, sir.
Oh, my friends from Anahuac will be coming shortly to see me. Why don't you stay, Jim, huh?
Thank you, I'd like to, but for a while I prefer to play it alone.
They shake hands, and Bowie returns to his horse. He climbs into the saddle, and with a wave back to Austin, rides off along the riverbank. A nighttime welcoming committee for Steve Austin. Austin and two companions ride through the crowd and dismount by Señor Quesada's house. Amongst the banners held by some of those present is one that reads, "Down with Santa Anna." As Austin's companions help him towards the house, a smiling Jeb Lacey makes his way through the crowd. Inside, Austin's greeted warmly by Señor Quesada.
You are a welcome sight, sir. Come, you need rest.
Jeb's carrying a saddlebag as he approaches the house. Austin's now sitting in an armchair.
I'm sorry my strength at the time is so far gone.
Tell him your conclusion, Steve.
No, later, let him rest.
No, it's all right. I can still talk, not much else. Well, I'm afraid I have bad news.
Yes?
My mission, of course, was hopeless.
Yes.
I've come to the conclusion there's only one course open to us. Any other course would be fruitless. It'd only be postponing the inevitable. We must load our guns and assert our rights.
We formed a committee. We want you to head it.
Sam Houston here?
North. We hope he'll be down in a few days.
Oh, I saw Jim Bowie.
You did? Is he still apologizing for Santa Ana?
Thank you, Jeb. You will soon be leaving town. Why not go and visit with Consuelo?
Yes.
I didn't get that impression of Jim at all. Matter of fact, I...
Jeb leaves the room and passes through the hallway outside, watched by the many Texians who are loitering there. He approaches a doorway that Maria has just stepped from.
Donde está la señorita?
En su cuarto.
Gracias.
He knocks on the door.
Pasa. Two things should not be done at once, but there's no time.
You're leaving?
Oh, Jeff. Yes, I'm leaving in the morning. Won't you please sit? There's no place to sit.
Why?
What?
Why are you leaving?
My uncle feels we should be in San Antonio with our people.
But, senorita.
Consuelo.
Consuelo. It isn't safe. General Corse is there.
He thinks he must. Senor Austin came.
Mm-hmm. A man could almost walk right into your eyes.
Oh, Jeb. Jeb, you're very nice. I've always thought...
What?
No, you wouldn't like me to say it. What did you come to tell me?
Mr. Austin said he'd seen Jim Bowie.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Did he say anything else?
Not while I was there. What did you mean? What wouldn't I like you to say?
You will be angry.
I won't.
I've always thought of you as a little boy.
As a little boy? Oh,
please wait. I've seen you so seldom. Then suddenly you say something very nice to me, and I can see I've been very wrong about you.
You know, if I understood what that meant, I might like it.
Consuelo, we have so little time.
Yes, Maria.
Well, goodbye, Consuelo. Senorita.
Goodbye, Jeb.
Goodbye. Perhaps I'll see you in San Antonio.
I hope so.
Well, goodbye.
Your feet down the clothes!
A column of red-uniformed Mexican cavalry are traveling slowly across the flat, parched Texas landscape. Boo is observing them from his horse some distance away. He glances over at the wide river the soldiers are approaching. At the order of an officer, the horse soldiers stop and dismount. Seeing this, Bowie rides slowly away. It's nighttime as Jeb rides his horse across the top of a ridge. He stops in surprise when he sees the soldiers camped near the bank of the river. Jeb glances around nervously, then rides away. He's passing an area that's thick with bare-branched trees.
Hold it right where you are. Get your hands up. Now get off your horse. Start walking.
Leading his horse, Jeb's walked at gunpoint to a spot where several men are camped.
Take his horse.
Bowie's amongst them.
Hello, youngster.
Mr. Bowie, sir. Sure, I'm glad to see you. I've been looking for you for weeks.
For weeks?
Yes, sir. You see, I haven't been able to find my place. But with you, Mr. Bowie, I think I can find it.
Not even looking things over. You know him, huh?
Jeb, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Jeb Lacey.
Jeb Ben Evans.
Hiya.
Ed Slade. Let's sit down here. Well, what have you been doing, Jeb?
Mr. Bowie, you know on the other side of the hill you got...
I know. We've been following them, trying to figure out where they were heading. Now we know.
San Antonio?
Have to. If they'd been going to head south, they would have cut off today.
Why?
I just went around San Antonio today. Tried to get in to fight with the Texians, but I couldn't get rid of a Mexican patrol.
Easy. Who are they fighting?
San Mexican garrison at San Antonio. General Course. I heard that Ben Milam got killed in the battle.
Ben Milam? A great man. How'd it start?
Well, the Texians were at Concepcion with the new militia. They had cannon. General Koss demanded they give them up. They wouldn't. Instead, they moved in first.
They attacked Koss?
Yes, sir. They were outnumbered almost 2-1, but they've got Koss cornered in the town.
Well, it started, Jim. What are you going to do about it?
Some riders pulled into the Mexican camp, Jim. Excitement. The troops is fixing to move out.
Well, we let them get through to San Antonio, and they'll attack our people from the rear. That'll be the finish.
We've got 25 men here, Jim. There's only 100 of them.
You reckon we're all of one mind?
I reckon.
What about me?
All right, Abe, get him up.
Everybody out! Yes. Stand up, boys!
The men strike camp quickly. Daylight. Boo is leading a group of Texian riders.
Take him to the river crossing.
Right!
Bowie peels away from the others and rides to the top of a hill. From his new vantage point, he sees the Mexican cavalry approaching along a dirt. Bowie now rejoins the Texian riverbank.
Take your men across the river. Rest of you, come on back here with me.
A dozen riders push their horses across the shallow stretch of water, while Bowie leads the rest out of sight. Both groups hide themselves amongst scrubby trees and keep a watchful eye out for the approaching Mexicans. In moments, the red uniforms of the cavalry have appeared. The unit plows straight into the river and starts to cross it. Just as the commanding officer reaches the other side and shouts a warning, the crossfire from the Texians on either side of the river. Caught by surprise, they try to scatter, even as several of their attacks to hand. The soldier is shot from his horse. Jeb's horse has been killed and he gets to his feet in time to use his rifle to parry a sword blow from a charging Mexican. Bowie dispatches one soldier with his knife, then throws it at Jeb's attacker. It hits the man in his chest and he's carried away by his horse. The fierce fighting continues. A covered ammunition wagon traveling with the Mexicans has been set on fire amidst the chaos. A soldier, but it turns over in the middle of the river and explodes. In the aftermath of the battle, Ben and Bowie are walking along the riverbank. But sees his dead.
Atkins, huh?
Yeah. Well, what's our condition?
Lost 9, 5 hurt, but we sure give them a good beating. A few got away, but they won't be back.
Have you seen the kid?
No.
The wagon ready?
Just about.
All right, get him going.
All right.
Bowie's about to follow Ben when Jeb appears, carrying Bowie's knife.
Mr. Bowie! Look. I found it back there.
What's this?
It's nothing much.
Here, you better sit.
You'll have to excuse me, Mr. Bowie. It's the first fight I was in.
You did just fine. Here, I'll fix you up.
As Jeb rests against the rock, Bowie fetches some water from the river in his hat. Dust is kicked up as the Texian riders travel along a dirt road. Bowie and Ben are traveling at the head of the group and stop when they see a solitary horseman up ahead. The rider spurs his horse off at a gallop.
Mexican?
Can't tell.
Well, let's see.
Bowie and Ben give chase. They race after the rider as he cuts across. Their quarry is Mike Radin, who slows to a halt with a smile when he sees who's pursuing him. Bowie and Ben catch up with him.
Jim Bowie.
Say, how's the arm, Mike?
Oh, pretty stiff. I guess it always will be.
Too bad.
Like I said before, you're a good man, Bowie.
Where are you heading?
I'm riding dispatch, General Houston, up north. You heard the news? We've taken San Antone. We got General Corson and his Mexicans bottled up. Well, he's talking surrender. Should be over by now.
Well, I sure wouldn't have believed that.
Yeah, there's some pretty fair men all around this part of the country. For a fact. Mike Radin, Ben Evans.
Howdy.
Hiya.
Ben, there's no need to hurry. Give the men a rest and then take them on into San Antone. Say, Mike, you mind if I ride along with you?
Ride with me? Well, it'd be my pleasure, Jim. Come on.
As Ben goes off to rejoin the others, Bowie and Radin ride together. A servant is watering some plants in the courtyard of Señor Quesada's house. Consuelo is indoors, singing as she plays a piano. Señor Quesada rushes Travis into the room. The two men walk towards Consuelo, but then Travis holds up a hand and they stop, allowing her to finish her song.
Intrusion, Consuelo. Senor Travis wishes to pay his respects.
Senorita.
It's so good to see you again. And here in San Antonio.
Thank you.
And now, if you'll excuse me, I know you must have much to talk about. But, senor, my uncle won't let me go into town and I'm dying for news.
Well, I have a variety of news, senorita. What sort would you like?
I've heard that a party came into San Antonio, fought against the Mexican reinforcements.
Yes, so they say.
Did Senor Bowie come with them?
No, senorita.
Oh. Do you know where he is?
No, I'm afraid I don't. I've had conflicting reports. Some people say he went to join General Houston. Others say he returned to Mexico.
Oh, but he couldn't have gone back to Mexico now.
Of course not, senorita.
You do not believe that?
Consuelo, these questions are hardly necessary.
You still do not think Senor Bowie believes as we do, do you, Senor Travis?
Senorita, I agree with your uncle.
Because you do not understand a man like Senor Bowie. You do not understand that when people are troubled, as many of us are, it is not always easy to know what is right. Senor Bu is a very great man. And many of us should be grateful that such a man has the courage and the humility to try to find what is right for all of us to do. He is a very great man, Senor. A wonderful man, and you are unfair.
Senor, I...
A Mexican of a large contingent of horse soldiers traveling cross-country. Several of the soldiers fire at three riders they see racing away up ahead. One of the riders is shot from his horse. It's nighttime. A dance band is playing in the courtyard of Señor Quesada's house. Well-dressed men and women are dancing around a central. The style of dance is, like many of the clothes, Mexican. Maria-dressed women sitting to one side. They look on with smiles of approval as Consuelo dances with Jeb. Ben greets Bowie, who's arrived with Radin.
Jim, glad to see you.
Ben, remember Mike?
Sure, how are you, Mike?
Say, isn't that the young Mr. Travis?
Colonel Travis.
Oh. Senor Bowie.
Senor.
Welcome. Mike.
Senor. Doctor.
Jim.
Abe. Colonel Travis.
Mr. Bowie.
Lieutenant Dickinson, sir, the Colonel's aide. Very glad to meet you, sir.
Lieutenant?
Would you care for a glass of wine?
Yes.
That was a pretty good job of ambush you put on.
Thank you.
Tends to prove what I've maintained all along. A little show of force.
Did General Cost that easy?
Oh, by no means. I understand the Mexicans are excellent fighters. But in my opinion, it was the element of surprise that turned the trick.
Yes, surprised me too.
And the point remains that General Cost is gone. And under parole, never to bear arms against us again.
Maybe he won't.
And that is the end of their military rule.
Colonel, I've been talking around the town. Most of your men seem to be agreed on one thing.
What's that?
Going home. Those who haven't already left are talking about it. You have a force of 104 men plus my 24 volunteers and no surprise left in the barrel.
Mr. Bowie, when we first met, you argued against us. Then you swung around to our side. You put on a great fight. But now you seem to be singing that same old song again. Caution, caution, caution.
Am I?
We've plenty of men available. Colonel Fannin's in Goliad. Davy Crockett's coming into Texas at the head of 1,000 men. General Houston is forming an army if they're needed.
I'm afraid it isn't going to be that simple. I just left General Houston. He hasn't any army. Yet, it appeared to both of us that an army that isn't is about to engage an army that is.
Mr. Bowie, I cannot reconcile your shifting positions. Was that General Houston's opinion, or was it yours? Just how many sides are you on?
Senor! Senor, I beg you.
Senor Bowie, do you think it makes much sense?
Senorita?
Please, may I speak with you?
At your pleasure, Mr. Bowie.
With Consuelo.
Lieutenant, let you and I talk some sense.
I want to apologize.
Please, Senor Bowie, don't.
Something I had to drive out of my mind.
Did you?
Yes, I think so. Let me look at you. You're grown.
I'm the same.
I'm not tall or older.
Hey, you, Senora. I'm 19. Almost. I heard, Senor. You did not reach her before?
No.
Not in time. I'm sorry.
That's better. You get it over with at once. You gave me quite a start just now. You sounded just like her. Same tone in your voice,
Same softness. It was like standing behind yourself, but something that had happened before. I remember we were at a party, dancing. A man tried to cut in. I didn't want him to. I called him out. She put her hand on my arm and said, Jim, do you think it makes much sense? Just as you did. You remind me of her.
Even if in a slight way, I'm very happy.
You come right down that valley.
Who?
Santa Ana.
You're sure?
I'm positive. What will your uncle do?
He will stay.
Where will he send you?
I'll stay, too. You'll fight here at San Antonio?
Yeah, I have to. The only base he can get within 700 miles. If he can take San Antonio quickly, there'll be no place to stop him.
Bowie goes to join the crowd that's rushed to greet two riders who've dismounted by the main gate.
They fired on you?
Si, senor. It was then I realized that my servant was killed.
You say it was a large force of Mexicans you saw?
At least 1,000 men. I swear it.
Cavalry?
All cavalry, senor.
Wagons?
No wagons, senor.
Se movían con mucha rapidez. Unos grupos iguales.
My son say that they move very rapidly. Two equal groups.
It was magnificent.
The vanguard. Probably about 600 men. Exactly how he traveled.
Do you consider this acceptable military information?
As acceptable as any we'll get. What do you plan to do, Colonel?
Mr. Bowie, it may be that I was hasty a moment ago.
Granted.
But am I to understand that you're going to question my military command?
I am here as the personal representative of General Houston, Colonel. As a matter of fact, I'm a colonel myself.
And I'm in command by order of the governing council. As long as you and your men stay here, you'll submit to that fact.
We can't afford a quarrel, Colonel.
No, we can't, Colonel.
There's no need of a quarrel. More than half the men around here are volunteers, not under the council. They've got a right to elect their own commander. Now, why don't you put it to a vote?
Are you willing, Colonel?
A vote? Why, certainly.
Pedro.
Senor.
The stables. Come in.
Daytime. Travis and Dickinson are walking through a large crowd of Texians.
Too bad, Colonel Travis.
Well, thanks, Tom.
They enter the San Antonio Tavern, and with Travis shaking hands with stride towards Bowie, who's sitting at Ben and Radin.
Good morning, gentlemen. Colonel Bowie, at your service, sir.
Lieutenant Dickinson, Colonel, reporting for duty.
Please be seated, gentlemen. I have been commissioned by General Houston to determine whether to hold San Antonio as a post or to blow it up. I'm reporting to General Houston that San Antonio must be held at all costs, that we fortify the old mission and hold it until reinforcements arrive. I have stated that Colonel Travis and Colonel Bowie will assume joint command. Will you sign that with me, Colonel?
Travis signs the document Bowie passes him.
It's very generous of you, Colonel.
I've got a notion we're going to need each other.
The men notice a commotion outside.
It's Crockett!
Crowd is greeting a group of ragged frontiersmen, led by a bearded man. Bowie shakes his hand.
You Jim Bowie?
Yes, sir.
You look like him. Always heard about you. Mighty glad to see you.
Davy Crockett.
This is Colonel Travis.
Colonel, eh?
We've been expecting you, sir. This is a great pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
On behalf of Colonel Bowie and myself, welcome.
Colonel Bowie and Colonel Travis. And Colonel Crockett. I'm a colonel, too. Appears like there's a lot of colonels around here.
What do you say, boys? Let's all have a drink.
Hey!
Everyone heads into the tavern.
Davy, give us a speech.
Yeah.
I've been persuaded. My friends and constituents, or others. I left Washington and the United States Congress some time ago at the request of a certain gentleman who had the gall to call himself Andrew Jackson. But his real name, as most self-respecting Indians knows, is a fella who got the whole thing ballast up. Anyway, in Washington, they told me to either go to hell or to Texas, so naturally, not wanting to be took for a coward, I chose Texas. Looking over your territory as I come, I want to tell you I think you found something. I don't know what it is, but it sure is full of space. Only thing, a few more people is needed. Men like you could solve that problem in no time at all.
Jack.
But I hear there's another man here that's again people being here, a certain general called Santa Anna. He seems like he wants to make it a game preserve for coyotes. And from what I've heard, we might have a run-in, if he don't scare me off.
Will you have a drink, sir?
Well, I've been persuaded.
Bartender? Can't tell you how glad we are to see you and your man, Colonel.
Well, thank you, son. This one's a parson. He's again drank and sits, but a mighty uplifting man. Pay your respects, parson.
Blessings on you.
Are your men with you, the rest of them?
Naturally.
Well, we'll have to make arrangements for quartering them. How about provisions?
We travel light.
Well, we can send out some requisition parties.
We take what comes. We don't make no fuss.
Where are your men, Colonel?
Why, here.
Here?
How many men are with you, Colonel?
Call me Davy. We keep this Colonel business up, we're gonna get mixed up.
How many men, Davy?
Well, up until yesterday, I had 30, but one of them been sick for quite a spell, he ate something, and, got 29 now.
29? The report I had was 1,000.
All people exaggerate, but if you're expecting fighting, you can't exactly say it's only 29, because these is Tennesseans, and that makes a difference. Are you expecting fighting?
There's a fair chance of it. Tomorrow morning, we're moving into the Alamo.
Alamo? What's that?
Broken down old fort. Used to be a mission.
Mission, eh? You know, the parson here will just love that Alamo, won't you, parson?
Help us, O God, our Savior, and for the glory of thy name, O Lord, deliver us. Amen.
The ragtag Texian army, along with numerous, begin to move into the Alamo. The converted missionary consists of thick exterior walls made up of stone and a wide interior plaza bordered by numerous buildings, including a chapel. As Dickinson enters the fort with his wife and children, Bowie and Davy are supervising the wall defenses.
Colonel Travis will take over that entire section. This wall from here to the tower is our weakest point.
Wall could stand a mighty fixing.
Yeah. It's all yours, Davy.
It's mighty considered of you, Jim. Much obliged. Hey, parson! Get him the hustling out there.
Bowie sees Travis and Ebb riding just behind. Watches Consuelo, and their eyes meet. The skies are dark as Consuelo joins Bowie, who's keeping an eye out up on the battlements.
Can you see anything?
No, but they're out there somewhere. I've been thinking, Consuelo. I've got a place about 2 days north of here. We were going to make it our home, but we never got to move in. We built it just the way we wanted it. I'd like to move in someday, high up on a rolling hill, Air so clear you could see for 100 miles. I'd like you to see it.
I'll see it with you.
Later, maybe.
I knew when you built it. I prayed that you'd be happy there.
I'm glad now we didn't move in. If we had, I would have burned it down. I burned down the place in Mexico.
Jim.
It's all right now. Has to be.
What did you do all those months?
Rode. Experimented how much a man could drink.
I prayed. I didn't want you hurt.
I want you to go there, Consuelo. To my place. You and your uncle. When this is over, I'll come see you and see if you like. She left me a letter. She understood so many things. She said, no matter what happens, a man and a woman has to be. Otherwise, a man's only half and a woman's nothing at all. I want you to remember that, Consuelo, in case anything happens here.
Jim.
You'll remember.
They kiss each other with love and passion. The Mexican cavalry is snaking its way across Arid. General Santa Anna himself. Many of the soldiers carry long lances, while mobile artillery pieces and units of foot the Mexican flag flutters above its bearer as the soldiers near the Alamo. Bowie, Travis, Davy, and a host of an army from the battlements.
Four or 5,000 men. I can tell that as near-sighted a fool as I am. Like to raise a dust storm all over Texas.
In the fort, as unit line 10 ranks deep.
They not only got us outnumbered, but outdressed. And that's for certain.
Firmes! Presenten armas!
The artillery pieces have been made ready near the front lines. White Horse inspects his formidable army.
Bajo el reporte a la posta. De frente y a la izquierda, marchen!
Soldiers ride towards the Alamo beneath a white flag.
You have regrets?
No. I have made my choice for what I think is right.
Alto! General Antonio Lopez de Santana, Commander-in-Chief of the Armies of the Republic of Mexico, presents his compliments and requests the honor of a meeting with Señor James Bowie.
Travis glance at one another.
Open the gate!
Maybe he's off to become a Mexican general.
Lieutenant Dickinson! Have that man sent to my quarters!
Very good, sir.
Having handed Travis his gun, Bowie rides out to meet with the Mexican envoys.
Atrás! Vuelta a la izquierda! Marchen!
The Texians look on anxiously as Bowie accompanies the cavalry. We both dismount and greet each other with a handshake.
Jimmy, my good friend.
General?
Come.
Appears they're right friendly.
Santa Anna leads Bowie to a nearby tent, and the two men sit down on the chairs.
Well, amigo, what has happened between us?
The point is, Your Excellency, it no longer matters about us.
All we've been through together, we should not now be in opposite camps. Ride away from here, Jimmy. True. It's impossible for you. Then convince your people to put down their arms and come out. It is strange how it has come. Little pieces fitting together one at a time. No one wanting it. How did it come to be, Jimmy?
It could have been stopped the last time we talked. The Texians don't want a war with you. I told you they wanted peace.
They fired on my troops. Can I accept such an insult?
Riding out here, I figured I had something to say to you.
Yes?
I haven't. We've said it all.
Yes, Jimmy. And do you think I can ride back now?
I suppose not.
When I ride, I will ride all the way across Texas.
No, General.
You have less than 200 men. No, no, Jimmy, don't lie to me, I know.
We'll be reinforced. Houston's raising troops.
You will not be reinforced, not in time. I know that too.
You've been misinformed.
Don't go back, Jimmy. I will make you my prisoner. You will be happy. You will be free.
I came out here under a flag of truce. I'll go back the same way.
Very well. Then tell your people they will surrender at my discretion. Otherwise, my dear brother, I will be obliged to give my bugler the order to blow the deguel. You know what that means.
We have women and children. You'll give them safe conduct?
Naturally. Adios, compañero.
Adios.
Santa Anna's face betrays little emotion. Travis walks to meet Bort.
Well? Surrender at his discretion or the deguelo.
The what? They run up a red flag. And they sound the deguelo on the bugle. It means no quarter, no mercy.
In other words, no prisoners.
My stars and possum dogs. That Santa Anna scares me plumb out of my britches. What does he expect us to do? Just come out there and surrender?
Mama, won't it be pretty when it grows?
It's twilight. As Radin stands on the battlements watching the Mexican army camp, Bowie walks over to join him.
They sing real pretty, don't they?
Yes, but they got us completely surrounded, so keep your eyes open.
I understand you'll provide us with a suitable escort, Colonel, but every man here will be needed. I'd like to do as you request, but
Mrs. Dickinson, you don't understand. It's not a request, it's an order.
Oh, no. No, Colonel, I can't be ordered. I've sought the protection of the fort, and I have it. I don't believe General Santa Anna will harm women and children. As long as my husband stays, I'll remain with him.
Lieutenant.
I'm sorry, Colonel. My wife has the right to make her own choice. Apparently, she's made it.
To Quesada.
Senor, at least I can count on you to see that the senorita leaves. I am sorry. I would prefer to have her go. But if Mrs. Dickinson is staying, it is necessary that Consuelo stays.
Follows.
Thank you, Colonel. you'll excuse me, I must attend to my children.
A barrage of cannon fire has begun from some large wooden huts some distance from the fort. Bowie, Travis, and Davy.
Siege guns. Bigger than anything we got.
We gotta get them out of there.
We can't reach them with our cannon.
How about sending out a detachment?
You think we can afford to lose them?
No. No, you're right. Of course we can't.
What do you think, Jim?
Tonight, maybe. Make a good diversion. Help get a rider out to Fannin.
Under the cover of night, a handful of Texians are wading across a small body of water. Bowie's in front, and he calls... They pause as two horse-drawn gun carriages are driven over a nearby wooden bridge. Bowie and his men press on. One by one, they step from the water and make their way to the top of a moving quickly off the ridge and down the other side. They're now entering the outskirts of the Mexican camp and as they close in on their target. Radin's among come upon a makeshift corral where a larger number of cavalry horses are being kept. The perimeter. Radin and Davy creep closer. Once the guard has passed by, he uses two horses as stepping stones, jumping onto the rear of the guard's horse and silently knifing him. Bowie and the rest of the party, including Abe, move into the corral and they each ready one of the horses. Bowie's whistle, the men ride their they ramp towards the wooden huts. Watching from the walls of the Alamo, he runs to join a courier near the
ready to go?
All ready, Bill.
Bowie's raiding party have arrived at the huts that house the cannon. They dismount and attack the soldiers. The Texians quickly overwhelm the soldiers without a shot. Radin strangles a Mexican with one hand with the other. Takes care of the last of the soldiers with powerful punches. He, Davy, and Radin then set
make it to Fannin, Jim. You've got to make it.
If anybody at all can get through, I will.
The gate is opened, and Jim rides from the fort. As the alerted Mexican cavalry begin to mount up, he quickly joins the others outside. Can. The huts are in flames, and one of them explodes behind the Texian raiders. The Mexican cavalry give chase, but the defenders on the Alamo's walls lay fire. Managed to steal, almost makes it into the fort. Last moment.
Doc!
Travis and some others rush out to retrieve the cannon, and the Mexicans are shot from their horses before their comrades finally beat a retreat. Injured. Davy leaves a barracks building.
How is he?
Bad. Right side of his chest smashed. Doc thinks he can patch him up, but he's optimistic. You know, we didn't want to tell the rest of the men how bad it was. We need him. We need the idea of him. Do you agree?
Of course I agree. He's the one man here who's not replaceable.
At it again.
Mike? You said once you could lick me. You're good now. I wouldn't want to, Jim. You're still a good man.
To the table Boo is sitting at, he gestures for Radin to leave.
You all right, Colonel?
Yeah. How's everything?
What are they waiting for? 3 days pandemonium, then 3 days quiet, and then the whole thing all over again.
Wear us down. If he can break us, he'll have an army intact. March across Texas.
Every day does give Houston more time.
Santa Ana won't wait long. He might be sending for heavier cannon. Colonel, I'd be pleased if you'd assume complete command.
No, Jim. I've been meaning to say, I should have said it before. I consider it an honor serving under you.
Thanks. You mind if I say that it's been interesting watching you grow? You're a pretty tall man now, Will.
Ben Evans, sir.
Ben? What's the answer?
Houston's in the north, Jim, recruiting. His aide told me he didn't have a force fit to send.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Ben leaves with Dickinson.
But Fannin's coming.
Perhaps.
I think he'll be able to get through to us.
Not if he just tries to walk in. Be cut to pieces. If he waits till Santa Ana attacks. Maybe. I'll go back now. Give me a hand, will you?
Travis helps him to the door.
Hey, I can make it.
No, Jim, let me help you.
No need them seeing.
Travis watches Bowie go. And overhears Consuelo talking to Jeb.
You see, after all, Jeb, we don't know each other very well, do we?
I know. I understand the custom. Ordinarily, it'd be different. But now, the way things are, the time seems to have gotten all pushed together. I thought you might let me speak to your uncle.
Jeb, I've been unfair. I like you so much. I'd like to be with you. We can laugh together. At least we could. And I knew. I could see it when you looked at me, but I didn't think it would last. It's my fault, Jeb. I didn't want to hurt you. I couldn't bring myself to. And now I have hurt you.
You couldn't hurt me, Consuelo. I just, just feel empty.
Oh, Jack.
Off along the corridor. We're chasing a lone rider heading for the fort. The exhausted Jim makes it.
Did you get through?
I got through all right, but Fannin's not coming.
Bowie moves to a window in his room and looks out across the compound. Sees Doc walking across. A heavy rain begins to fall. He enters Boone by the window.
Jim, will you get off your feet?
Fannin isn't coming.
No, Jim.
Why?
He started. His equipment broke down. Vance Guard was taking my Mexican patrols. He's unable to move.
What's Travis going to do?
He's calling all the men together. He's putting it up to them.
Walk me out, will you?
I shouldn't, Jim. Now it started to rain.
What difference?
Bowie puts on his hat and picks up his knife. Doc helps him on with his coat. With the Doc to lean on, Bowie... They leave the barracks hall towards the gathered Texian defenders.
To tell you, we have no more hope for reinforcements. Colonel Fannin can't reach us. No doubt at this moment, Santa Anna is mounting an assault in force. The outcome of that assault, you can easily guess. They outnumber us 30-1. There are three courses open to you. You can try and fight your way out through their cavalry. Probably be cut to pieces before you've gone a mile. Your second choice is to surrender. Anyone may do so who chooses to. You have my permission. But remember that when you surrender, you free an army of thousands of men to make war on the rest of Texas. Your third alternative is to stay here and fight. We can kill them as they charge us, kill them as they scale our walls, kill them as they put the bayonet to us. Or we'll all die, I have no doubt of that. The Deguelo will be sounded. But what we do here can so disorganize Santa Anna that he won't be able to march for weeks on Sam Houston. I've drawn a line in the dirt. Any of you who care to stay with us, please step over that line.
Present steps forward. Travis looks both proud and relieved.
Thank you, men. Parson, you have anything to say?
Well, kind sir, we're here doing what we think is right. Give us a little encouragement, if you please, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Reads, she believes she's in love with me, Jeb, but I'm sure it's really something that started when she was just a little girl. You love her. And happiness together.
Want that to go out, Jim? Afraid it's going to be the last chance.
Personal.
I've written to Sam Houston, told him about the decision of the men. I think that's something other Texians will want to know about. Scouts report they're building ladders. Scaling ladders. There was an all-night conference in Santa Ana's tent.
Attack in the morning, probably. Would you mind if we sent Jeb with that?
Good idea.
Tell him to meet me at the west gate.
Let me help you.
No, no. Get the Jeb belt.
Both men head outside.
Jeb.
Jeb steps down from his post on the wall.
Yes, sir?
This is for General Houston. Colonel Bowie wants to see you at the West Gate right away.
But, sir, I...
Right away, Jeb.
Yes, sir. You all right, Mr. Bowie?
Yeah. You've got to go out, Jeb. Get as far as you can while it's dark. Don't try to stretch it. Find a place. Hide. In the morning...
But, sir...
In the morning, after the first battle, there should be lots of riderless horses. Wait until you can get one.
It isn't fair. I want to cross the line with the rest of them.
I know. Jeff, this is the toughest job we've got. We figure you can handle it. This is for you. Read it afterwards.
Yes, sir.
Ben?
Yes, sir?
All right to go out now.
Wait, sir. It's all right now, sir.
All right, Jeb. Get going.
I don't know how to say it, Mr. Bowie.
Don't try. Good luck.
Bowie locks the gate door behind Jeb once he's gone. Wall. Dickinson and Chapel. He takes. Then he kneels down and kisses his young daughter. He hugs her tight before touching an affectionate. And with a final look to his wife, marches stoically out of the chapel. Consuelo and Davy are at Bowie's bedside.
Davy?
Yeah, Jim?
Make her go with the women in the chapel.
Go along, girl. Go along. It's your job.
Bowie sits up.
Davy, you think you can put me right in front of the entrance?
Sure, Jim.
With Davy to support him. A barrage of Mexican. Santa Anna looks on from his horse as the Alamo's outer wall falls. Next to him.
Okay, there they will.
They will you!
Buglers.
Is that it?
That's Coelho.
Gives me the shivers. You all right?
Yeah.
So long, Jim.
So long, baby. Let them know it's Crockett they're fighting.
They'll eat snakes before they get in here, Jim.
Santa Anna nods, and a red flag is raised on a wooden pole.
Red flag.
Keep praying, Parson. Hard.
The cavalry lancers prepare to charge, and the foot soldiers. With the riders who are carrying the ladders leading the attack, this advance upon. Hundreds of men, both cavalry and infantry. And Travis has his sword raised, ready to give the firing order. Scores of Mexicans are cut down before they reach. Dickinson shouts an order.
Put in a good word for me, Parson.
The Mexicans have succeeded in placing several ladders on the fort's walls. One Texian manages to topple the sheer numbers of soldiers attacking are overwhelming. The walls look increasingly threatened. Smoke as the battle intensifies. Travis is slashing with his sword while Doc is down in the plaza trying to deal with the many wounded. The sickly look. Meanwhile, the bloody struggle for the Alamo's war. For every soldier the Texians repel, one or more succeed in storming the battle. Blade out, then kills his attacker with it. Falling into the plaza with one of them. Abe is valiantly defending the walls with it. Radin's back on his feet, fighting, but falls dead in the mud when he's shot from above. Two Mexican soldiers manage to place a barrel of gunpowder at the base. Travis. The cannon is turned to face down into the plaza. The burning fuse on the gunpowder barrel detonates it by the resulting explosion. Travis fires the cannon, killing a Mexican rider who's charged through the gate. A section of the wall suddenly collapses, and Mexican with the outer defenses crumbling, mounts with his rifle.
Parson, the torch!
The parson's about to set fire to a stockpile of gunpowder, but he's shot before doing so. Davy thrusts a blazing torch into the powder, blowing himself Mrs. Dickinson comforts the bereft Consuelo. Outside the barred chapel doors, he's bayoneted by several soldiers, who then in at the door, just as the Mexicans break through. Before He collapses to the floor. Aftermath of the battle, Santa Anna rides into the fort as his men are collecting the many dead. He casts an eye over the death and destruction with a sad expression. Gather around a tent, Jeb emerges and addresses the expectant faces.
General Houston.
Men, I have news. Tragic news. The terrible battle has ended at the Alamo. We all have lost friends. Brave, dear friends. Jim Bowie is gone. Bill Travis, Davy Crockett, Doc Summerfield, Senor de Quesada, many, many more. To a man, they all died at their posts. But theirs was not a defeat. You must understand and believe that. Santa Ana's strength has been weakened. Those who spent their lives bought us time. Time to conquer him. With an army that will avenge what has happened there in that small village on the banks of the San Antonio. Their fight will be remembered down through the ages.
A rider.
General Houston, sir. We have the honor. The ladies from the Alamo.
Seeing them approaching in the distance, Jeb runs towards them. Full of wretched, exhausting-looking women. Mrs. Dickinson and Consuelo are amongst them. Consuelo doesn't seem to notice Jeb as the cart passes him. She looks down, and their eyes meet at last. Jeb climbs onto a running board and puts his arm around Consuelo as the cart trundles towards the group of gathered Texians.